Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody is enjoying a little bit of tea or coffee this morning as you start your day. So much has happened in the last 24 hours, and I only have 29 minutes and 45 seconds on my show today, and I don't want to spend a lot of time, you know, going over the same details that are on every single news report, you know, that you can read online or read in your newspaper. And I want to use this time to be positive and to be creative. And so I'm going to really focus on the things that will, you know, affect all of us, people in the food business and service industry who are suddenly without jobs and suddenly unemployed, to the moms or dads single who are possibly home now from work as well because they have to care for the kids that are not being able to go to schools right now, and come up with some just suggestions and ideas that have been written to me and suggested and talked about over the last literally 24 hours because the information is changing so fast. So we're going to cover that today. And the big thing I want to cover today, which I'm excited about to share with you, is thinking about some gardening. And with the situation of being able to be as mobile as we'd like, and I imagine a lot of the farmers markets probably won't be functioning on the same level that they have before during this period of time, that we have to think in those terms also. Some people who have CSA accounts, which is when you pay a monthly fee and get weekly boxes and bags of fresh produce. And I imagine some of that's going to change a little bit too. And as soon as I get more information on farm stands and procedures that are safe for people to be able to continue picking up fresh produce, you know, we're probably looking at some very easy ways to create some home gardens. And that needs to be starting pretty soon, regardless of everything that's happening now. And we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. I also wanted to talk about the kids at home. And some of the schools now are putting together packages that will help give them some, you know, things to do and to keep up with the studies as best as possible. Now, I know from my own experience with a young lady who is going through, you know, her growth spurt. She's 14 years old. And she's really has a lot of time on her hands all of a sudden. And though there's no problem with her using her mobile device to be able to talk to friends and things like that, it has to be a relief in some cases. So therefore, they, you know, can occupy some time. But that can get really, really old quickly. And it should be a positive thing to at least try to use that time and that device to learn some things and get some things accomplished in a way that's really important. One of the big things that I really wanted to talk about just briefly, and it's really, really, it's important, is that the focus in so many cases as far as safety is concerned, when you're a little bit older and you understand that, you know, we have to take drastic measures right now to protect ourselves and our families and each other from passing, you know, the virus to each other. And that is why so many restaurants, well, most all restaurants are closed now as far as traffic in the restaurants, bars, and coffee shops, why a lot of small retail businesses have to close. So adults have no, you know, problem hearing this information and understanding it. But when it comes to transmitting that to our young kids, it gets a little tricky. And it's really, really hard for them because it's a huge adjustment. When they have no school, it's usually for a couple of reasons. It's because it's snowing outside and there's a snow day called, or it's a teacher's conference day where they're home. And those days for kids are always just almost a fun thing. They get to not go to school for the day. They get to play, usually with their friends or brothers and sisters. Now you're having a situation where they don't have the options that they had just a couple of weeks ago to go out and play with a bunch of friends, to even pass a baseball or football or soccer ball around, to be able to do simple things like share a lunch together or fly kites. All these things now are going to have to be put on hold for a while. So thinking in terms of creativity to occupy their time is important. And mostly connected to that is, how do we get the information to our kids to be more careful? For instance, in some cases when families are split up and there's part of the week that the kids may stay with mom and then part of the week the kids may stay with dad, being able to get completely on the same page, since we're not in the same house, you're not in the same house, is to be able to get the information to protect them in both living situations. And sometimes that can be really hard because some lifestyles are different. So therefore, exposure in certain situations might not be as controllable as if they were just under one roof. Something to think about. So encouraging a conversation with your former partner is really, really important, to be able to be completely on the same page as far as how that works. And it's something to really talk about now and to think about now. Of course, when people are, maybe one person in the house, is home with the kids and the other person is working. So therefore, when the working person who's out in the world more comes to pick up the kids and for that couple of days in a row after they had been housebound in one situation with, limited contact and limited activity, it gets a little bit tricky. I want you to be able to think about this, and I want you to be able to talk to your significant others or your former partner about just coming together on a plan to be able to keep the kids as safe as possible when they're traveling back and forth to each other's house. This is something to think about right now, and not something to be put off. And sometimes it's an uncomfortable situation, but I imagine that there is conversations going on right now as we speak to come together on these things. This is the future of this planet, is to keep our kids safeguarded. And sadly, with something like this, nobody technically or realistically right now is immune from this. And that means that even if you might not be sick or feeling those effects, there's a huge possibility that you could have been around or exposed. And that's what I'm talking about. Kids are the last ones that you to tell them to wash their hands, to be able to, make sure they're careful what they touch and all that. So I'm not going to spend another couple of minutes on this, and I'm not talking about this to put a blanket over this beautiful sunny day here in the Northwest, but I want you guys to be conscious of what I'm talking about right now and have those conversations with the kids, and they will understand. Believe me, they will. Maybe not immediately in some cases. It might take a little bit of time, but that's sort of okay in a way, because kids are kids, and this is a lot to have to bestow on them right now, but we don't have a choice. And that's what I wanted to say about that part of it. All right, I've been thinking about the possibility of certain areas of where you may be and having a slight more difficulty in getting access to certain kinds of foods. And that's why I wanted to talk about garden boxes today and how to set that up very, very simply. It's really, really something that we can think about. So I'm talking about being able to start growing immediate things like lettuce, onions, different kinds of greens and spices that way. Obviously, it's a little pre-season, but starting the plants is something that you can do immediately. Now, you might think about this the next time that you go out on a shopping run and put seed packets on your list. If you can't find it that way and you have the access and the ability to order some online, I would go ahead and start thinking about that. I would order some basic stuff, lettuce, cucumbers, some tomato seeds, and things like squash things that are fairly easy to grow and can actually be grown in small garden boxes, which could be put on your porch, outside your front door, but in a lot of cases can be put right inside the house in a window. Now, a really good idea is if you're in a situation where you might have an extra dresser, clothes dresser, a wooden clothes dresser, preferably with non-treated wood, and, you know, an extra drawer or two. Having a drawer, that's a New York accent coming back out, having an extra drawer is a good way to be able to start an indoor garden box or even a porch box. And so what you would want to do is get a drawer and, as I said, make sure as much as possible that there's no paint, it's not painted on the inside with enamel-based paints or anything. It's not treated with any kind of, wood alcohol or anything like that that might endanger the soil that you'll put in there. And that's pretty easy to do. If you have already have some planter boxes, now's the time to start getting that soil cleaned up and do some planting. This is going to be really, really helpful for fresh produce and fresh vegetables. We don't really know how things are going to be handled day by day right now, so it may be a really good thing to start this as soon as you can. Now, as I said, if you happen to make a trip out to one of the stores, especially in major chain stores like your local pharmacies and drugstores, they usually have a setup, and it's just if you look at the garden sections, they're already being started out. So I would suggest getting a couple of bags of potting soil and get those boxes out of the basement, those drawers out of the basement to create garden boxes. If you have some fairly clean wood around, you may be able to build a few boxes of your own and get these started. Seeds that are growing really easily could be germinated immediately, and there's several different ways you can learn how to do that online. I'll try to post some links and make that possible on the Foodomania Facebook page, where you can start the seeds soon, get them starting to get germinated, and then if you're in an apartment or a situation where you don't really have a garden space, starting those garden boxes would be incredibly helpful, and you'll reap the rewards in not too long. Once they get started, you can start seeing lettuce sprouts in a week or two. If you do have a garden area that's close to the house, then another thing, under normal circumstances, people who do that kind of gardening at this point in time of the season are already starting to start pulling weeds out and turning soil and all of that. Maybe this year's garden will be a little simpler of a project than maybe you've done last year at this time, but think about getting started with that as soon as possible, because you will reap those rewards for yourself and your family and be able to start having some sort of a slight increase in your food supply at home. The other thing connected to that is that once you start doing that, it'll be something that'll be kind of fun. I know the kids like to just to be able to start seeing things grow and to be able to have something to do every day by doing a little bit of watering. And once they start growing, a little bit of pruning, it's just another project that might occupy their time. Now, of course, if there was a giant iPhone strapped to the garden box, that would be great, so they can, talk to their friends while they do it. I'm kind of kidding about that. But see if you can take those steps. The other thing I want to talk about is check online and check your emails from the schools, because they're starting to talk about sending out certain kinds of materials and some kind of curriculum to be able to give the kids, a little bit of connection to the classroom. I've talked to a couple of teachers, and some are trying to put together some video chats, possibly doing some different lessons. I actually do some class volunteering in a food program at one of the local schools. And of course, we stopped our actual classes as far as producing food about almost a month ago. But I've talked to one of the instructors recently, and we're thinking of trying to do a couple of food classes, which kids can, and parents can maybe do in their own kitchen using their iPhone or an iPad or a small computer in the kitchen to be able to take some lessons in cooking. That might just also occupy time and also give them some things to also do. I want to focus on our kids right now because just handling our own adult stuff, rent and bills and things that we have to deal with, a considerable amount of time is we're spending occupying their time too, creating projects and things for them to do. It's almost like a return to the old days where, that's what kids did. They were able to do, paper mache and drawing and clay and all that stuff. And it seems a lot of that is going by the wayside for now. But now it's maybe hopefully connecting that to some kind of electronic instruction might be a way to keep spirits up and to keep things active and pass some of the time. So all these little ideas, and there's tons of stuff, but I'm talking about things that I've experienced personally as far as the garden boxes, as far as this virtual cooking instruction and other things like that. If you happen to be mechanically inclined and you have the space at home to be able to do some different types of little projects that might enhance the house to help other things, possibly a small amount of woodworking or gluing or constructing little things that would be really helpful. The list is endless, and there's a lot of different possibilities there. The other thing I want to talk about as far as cooking and things like that, and we talked a little bit about that yesterday, and thank you for some of the responses I got, and I have already sent out some of the recipes for the potato knishes, and actually got one little piece of feedback this morning. Somebody had never had one before, and they wanted to know if they had made it correctly. And I saw the picture, and I said, it looks good. How does it taste? And they said, it tasted really good. And I was happy to hear that. I wanted to talk about that. I want you all to think about things that you can do to make things that you can put in the freezer and start using a little bit of your time to do some backup things like soups, some spaghetti sauces, things that you can actually freeze. People are making muffins and things like that and freezing them. The other thing is the basic dough recipes for a focaccia bread or a pizza. It's really easy to just have a couple of batches of dough that you can bag up, wrap up well, and stick those in the freezer as well. So therefore, it'll eliminate some of the time it might take and also give you some more options as far as creating some meals at home and things that you can do for cooking. It's endless sort of the kind of stuff that we can actually do in the kitchen and the production. So think in those terms as well. If you have a batch of something that you made and there's leftovers and you have maybe a couple of servings and pretty much have had enough tomato soup or whatever you're doing, everything you can and try to freeze it and package it up. Make sure that if you're putting things that are hot in cooling pans first, no deeper than 2 inches in most cases, and let it cool enough before you actually wrap that up and put it in the freezer for safety reasons. And all this time, of course, we're washing our hands and limiting the amount of people or interaction of doing this kind of project. So if you're doing a cookie batch or a knish batch or a seat batch with the kids or something, just delegate certain specific tasks. Make sure everybody is washing their hands really, really carefully and staying a little bit of, a little bit far away you're not feeling good or something like that. And of course, these things should always be done when you're doing okay. If you have any questions about that, can write me at chefstuardo@hotmail.com. That's Chef Stuardo. That would be C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O @hotmail.com. And I'll send you back some recipes. I'll send you back a garden box instruction, a small diagram on how to build it, and the materials you might need to do that. So we have our garden boxes in thought. We have our dough production. We have our knish production. We have our soups and sauce production planned. Hopefully, you'll start working on those things in the next couple of days and start getting that pantry stocked up with good homemade fresh stuff. Your freezers are probably going to fill up pretty quick if they're not already. But do the best you can to to, you know, consolidate and go through that. I was telling somebody yesterday, who was telling me actually, because the kids are home and they're, you know, hungry and they want to eat this, and they've gone, the mom and dads have gone shopping and filled the pantry with all kinds of things, and the kids are just, you know, hungry, you know, how that is every 10 minutes they want something else to eat and they want to open another package of this and another package of that. So you have to come up with a plan where you can concentrate on the things that are open and make sure that you eat the things that, you know, need to be eaten first. Sometimes it's boring. So what you do is, if you made a tuna salad sandwich and you have a bunch of tuna fish left, another way to deal with that is to take the tuna that's left. When it's cold, add a little bit of breadcrumb to it, a little bit of flour, and make a little tuna patty. And that can be easily fried in the pan with a little bit of oil and butter. And make a tuna cake. That'll take care of the extra tuna. And now if you don't want to eat that tuna cake right away, just take it and let it cool after you make it. Wrap it up really good and stick it in the freezer for another time. This way it's not wasting it, and this way it's not making everybody tired of tuna fish. And do that with any, just about, you know, every time you make tuna, think about that. It can also turn into a tuna cake. Or you can start the can of tuna as a tuna cake. And instead of making a sandwich, make a tuna cake. Now, if you have a picky eater at home, yes, the kids are going to be a little tricky and afraid to try it. But, you know, give them a little taste and hopefully they will. Same thing with somebody who's talking about meatloaf and macaroni and cheese. Kids were tired of eating the meatloaf. And so they wanted something else. They wanted to do something else. So they took that meatloaf and they did the same sort of thing, but they broke it up into pieces. They added a little bit of tomato sauce to it, and they cooked up some pasta, and all of a sudden they had sort of a quick bolognese meat sauce and did it that way. So you just use the creativity in your head to try to come up with things that really will be creative for them and delicious to eat. Not everybody is going to love everything all the time, so sometimes you have to make things work in a different way. Now, that's you know, some of the ideas and thoughts that you can have for the day. I have a call-in number, but I eliminated you know, the time to take that today because I just really wanted to parlay this information to you guys. I am a couple of different guests over the weekend via telephone to give us some more information about things that are going on right now. This show is designed to take for people to take a little break and to get some ideas. And I know when we're done with this show, people will go back to other things that they're doing. I'm just suggesting to you know, you can set up your phones for a news alert message. In other words, if some breaking news or something happens that you need to know about really quickly, you can easily take you know, your phone, keep it close by, and you'll get a ding, and then you can look at the message. But I encourage people to stay off that crazy news feed that's just constantly changing every minute. It's causing stress. It's causing, in some cases, mixed information, and it's a good way to make us a little bit, you know, stressed out and not in the best frame of mind. So I would edit yourself, you know, pace yourself in the ingestion of too much news and too many facts. I'm not making light of anything that's going on right now, but most of the news is scary. Most of the news isn't great right now, and too much of it is not going to help anybody. I'm thinking of the basic things. Plan your walking and traveling around. If you're having to make a trip out, you know, plan it so you can do everything in one shot. If you're, you know, if you need specific information, then dedicate some time. And I would really avoid doing some of that in front of young kids who don't really understand what's going on. Not that we should not tell them everything that's happening and inform them, but just be really careful about that because they don't really totally understand right now. That's one of the issues that I talked about in the beginning of the show, to concentrate on ways to have communication so that they can understand that there's certain things they're not going to be able to do for a while. But before you have that conversation, think of alternatives so that you can say, well, you know, we can't do this, but we can maybe do this. I want you to concentrate on providing the most whole, you know, positive environment in the best that you can. I think it's really, really important for your well-being and the well-being of the family. And just concentrate on that. I also wanted to put out, there was somebody who suggested people are lighting candles safely in their windows or electronic candles from Christmas when the sun goes down as a salute to the amazing people out there who are on the front lines of what's going on right now. I'm talking about all the health workers, all the people who are working so hard to keep us as safe as possible and get us through this period of time, to the grocery workers, oh my gosh, to the people in the markets, the checkers, the stockers, the people who are making it possible for us to have food and materials that we need to get through each day. Respect them. Encourage them, be patient with the long lines if they come out, and the stress that people are inevitably going to feel. So there's this, you know, feeling of that you're in this all together. Now, it makes a difference in some cases if you're in a small town area. In some cases, it's a little bit better. If you're in a busier part of the county, you might find a little bit more tension. It's just going to be there. It's the reality. But do your part to take a deep breath. Try not to overreact to certain things. Not everybody is going to make you, you know, your day. You're going to have some things that are going to upset you and piss you off. And try to do everything you can not to get into that frame of mind if possible. It's just important. I want to say good work to all the food service workers and people who are still at the restaurants, who are organizing to-go foods and pickup and delivery. Sad to see that some restaurants decided to just completely close right now because it's just a bit too much, too much for them at this point in time to keep up with, you know, getting prepared and making a lot of food where they're getting not as many orders and things like that as they like. All you can do is try and do the best that you can and also try to support each other as in that business as possible, but not everybody's in a position to be able to get takeout every day. So rotate your takeout to different places so that everybody can slightly benefit from that. You know, try one place one day and another place another day, and just do the best you can. It's amazing some of the stories that I'm reading, conversations that I've had from some restaurateurs who are, you know, fairly busy. They're donating a ton of meals to healthcare workers, to grocery workers, to people who are still operating, the people in the pharmacies who are there behind the counter, putting themselves at risk and putting, you know, good service and smiles on people's faces and sticking it out. Bless you guys completely for everything that you're doing out there. I talked a little bit about yesterday. Whenever you get a chance, take 5 or 10 minutes to be able to take a little bit of a break for yourselves. Just stop everything. Be quiet. Turn off the media. Turn off the phone. When I say turn it off, just put it down in front of you and just close your eyes in whatever form you do. You want to call it prayer or meditation or sending out good thoughts. This makes a difference. It really does. You don't have to be a religious person to know that goodwill and good thoughts go a tremendously long way. I really want to thank you all for listening. I hope I've been helpful. Please write me at Chef Storto, C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O at hotmail.com. Keep me posted on things you'd like me to talk about. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and actually that's in the morning. I will be seeing you because I'll be doing a video hookup to this show starting on Monday. Okay, have a great day, everybody. I love you all. Thank you for your support. Love each other.